Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire, and lighten with celestial fire. Thou, the anointing Spirit art, who dost thy sevenfold gifts impart. Amen. More than a decade ago, I was fortunate to go on retreat in Teze, France. Now, I know some of you know about this ecumenical community. Some of you, in fact, have even been to Teze. For those who don't know, it was founded in the 1940s as a monastic community for Protestant men. And it early on found itself called to do the work of reconciliation in post-World War II France. A significant part of Teze's mission was caring for those orphaned by the war. But then things began to change, and during the 1960s, increasing numbers of young people began visiting the Teze community. And as monastics, extending hospitality is the center of their lives. And so as more and more young people began to make their way there, the community welcomed them all. To do so, the community had to change. It increased the size of the church. It built additional buildings for people to stay in. The brothers even altered their liturgy and music to be more responsive to those visitings. They developed a way of chanting that was not as complicated as Gregorian chant that they had been using. And they developed a chant which was beautiful and accessible and contemplative and praised God, but was possible for everyone there to sing. In 2006, I spent a week with the Teze community, and we arrived there in the afternoon of the seventh Sunday of Easter and stayed through the day of Pentecost. The days, especially early in the week, were quiet. There were only a few hundred people there, which by Teze standards is very small. For me, this was a meaningful time of retreat. I was spending my time attending several services daily in the church, going to a daily Bible study led by one of the brothers, doing the work that I had been assigned to do. And so there was this nice balance of worship and study and work. There was time with the entire group of several hundred. There was also time with the small group that I had been assigned. And there was time spent in solitude. And so, on the whole, there was time to think and pray and write while on the beautiful grounds. And we enjoyed beautiful weather that week, so we are unable to enjoy those beautiful grounds or even to take a walk in the village and countryside. But as the week began to unfold, things changed. More people began arriving. By Thursday, every time we worshiped, there were more people in that building. More of the building was being used. The quiet that I was so relishing led to a more active, more boisterous kind of anticipation of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost dawned, there were now 2,500 people in the church, and it was no longer quiet. There were people everywhere. It was challenging for me to find that contemplative space of the previous days. And as the Pentecost Eucharist began, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I found myself growing unsettled. This was not how I wanted my retreat to end. Where was that profound quiet I had found so meaningful? I suppose I don't have to tell you about my personality, and that was leading me to a place of being, well, almost grumpy. Grumpy about all these people who were intruding on my time, who were coming to intrude on my retreat. But then, we began to chant, Veni Sancta Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. It's such a simple chant. It has three words and only two chords of music. And when we began singing that, the experience for me was transformed. While we sang that simple chant, the brothers sang verses over what we were singing, verses in various languages. These verses invoke the Holy Spirit, asking the Spirit to shine forth from heaven, for the breath of God to come from the four winds of the earth, dispersing the shadows over us, renewing and strengthening us. And it was in that moment that I was transformed, and I realized this was indeed the perfect Pentecost experience. I had been given the great gift of worshiping on Pentecost morning in a community committed to reconciliation, with more than 2,000 people from all over the world, most of them under the age of 30. And all of us praising God in multiple languages at the same time. So it was noisy. It was unruly. It was way too extroverted for me. It was chaotic. But it might have been just like that first Pentecost morning when the Holy Spirit came as a noisy, violent wind over the first 120 followers of Jesus, when those tongues of flame appeared over each disciple. And when the crowd heard multiple languages spoken by those Galilean disciples as they witnessed to the power of God in languages not their own. We hear about this in the lesson today from the book of Acts, how that first Pentecost is not a contemplative, quiet experience, how the wind of the Spirit is rushing violently in, how a crowd is gathered by the noise of the event. All the followers of Jesus receive the Holy Spirit in that time, and their lives are changed forever. Nothing for them or for the world is ever the same again. At communion, we'll sing hymn 507, and it puts it like this. Tell of how the ascended Jesus armed a people for his own, how 100 men and women turned the known world upside down, to its dark and furthest corners by the wind of heaven blown. Now the Holy Spirit can certainly come to us in times of quiet contemplation, when we are alone praying, or when we might be walking in creation, or even in the quiet of being on retreat. And certainly if we think about Elijah, he has that experience when he goes up on Mount Horeb during a very difficult time in his life. And he experiences that God is not present in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but instead God is present in that voice that speaks from the sound of sheer silence. But then there are other times when the Spirit comes in power and might with great sound and activity, upsetting things as they are, leaving nothing as it was. The Holy Spirit leading us to be recreated, to become a new creation, calling us away from the things that have been into new things that will be, even into new ways of being. So the Spirit can come in and turn things upside down, transforming us and the world. As it says in today's psalm, you send forth your Spirit and so you renew the face of the earth. On that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit does indeed rush in with great power and calls the 120 first followers of Jesus to a radical transformation. These disciples are able to leave behind their fear. If you remember back 50 days ago on Easter Day, they are hiding behind a locked door. They're worried they are going to be killed next, just as Jesus has been killed. But on Pentecost, they leave behind their fear. They leave behind that locked room. And they take the good news of Jesus to the ends of the world. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they become the presence of Jesus in the world. They no longer wait for Jesus to appear to them and direct them, because now God abides with them. God dwells in them by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is now as close as their breath, their hearts, their minds. They now have power to preach and to teach, to witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And they do. They boldly proclaim through word and deed the love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the end, most of them give their lives as martyrs, literally witnesses to the love of God. In the account of the first Pentecost, we see the will of God made known through the fruits that the Spirit produces. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all people, young and old, male and female, slave and free. The human boundaries, those divisions that regulate who's in and who is out, who is worthy and who is not worthy, are torn down. There are no longer any outcasts. All are one as Jesus prayed that they might be, one just as he and the Father are one. That first Pentecost, the disciples preached the power of God, witnessing to God's act of love made known in Jesus in languages not their own. Those gathered in Jerusalem hear the disciples' teaching in their native tongue. God is not distant and remote. God is not speaking only a few or only the language of a select group. God is now present in the Spirit to all, understood by all. And God's invitation to the divine life is for all people, not just a small number. Pentecost is one of the days set aside for baptism in the Book of Common Prayer. And in a few moments, we will renew our baptismal vows. And in these vows, we promise to reject Satan and all evil. We affirm we believe in God. We promise to be faithful in loving God with all our heart and mind and soul, and our neighbor as ourself. We promise to work for justice, caring for those in need. And we promise to proclaim by word and deed the good news of Jesus. But none of this can we undertake by ourselves alone. It's no accident that the response to each promise we make is, "I will with God's help." It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live as God calls us to live. It's only through the Spirit that we are even able to pray. As the Spirit gives us utterance, even as the Spirit prays when we don't have the words to. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can give up the sin and the evil of this world. We can reject our human impulses that draw us away from the love of God. We ultimately can do nothing except through the grace of God's Spirit abiding within us. We hear in our gospel today that Jesus is telling his disciples he knows they're sad that he will be leaving them. And at the ascension, they stand looking up into heaven after he has gone. Someone says, "Why do you stand there looking up?" But when the Holy Spirit descends on them, they no longer look up. They instead look ahead. They look forward to where God is leading them. They listen for the promptings of the Holy Spirit calling them to do the work Jesus has given them. They let go of their anxiety and their fear, and they trust that the power of God will keep them safe no matter what happens in this life. A few weeks ago at the Sunday morning discussion group that happens at 9 a.m. between the two liturgies, someone observed that the Holy Spirit that was first poured out on the day of Pentecost on those first followers of Jesus allows them to do extraordinary things in Jesus' name. And they also observed how that Holy Spirit poured upon those first followers is the same Holy Spirit poured upon us through the waters of baptism. Pentecost brings us the great gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity who now dwells within us, God always present with us, God breathing in us, God breathing through us, God not remote and far away, but God within us, sanctifying us, setting us apart for God's holy work as God's people, the body of Christ in the world. And so on this Pentecost, may we ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds, that we are attentive to the promptings of the Spirit. When God calls from the sheer silence in a quiet voice, or when God rushes in a dramatic and life-changing way, may we receive the call of God, claiming the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we are empowered for the work of ministry in the world to which we have been called. And through our witness, may God renew the face of the earth as the Holy Spirit draws all people into unity, speaking to each in language they understand. And through the unity of the Spirit, may we all be one, sharing the divine life of God in this world and in the age to come. I want to close by a sonnet by Malcolm Gait. I've quoted him before. He has a collection called Sounding the Season, 70 Sonnets for the Christian Year. This is entitled Pentecost. Today we feel the wind beneath our wings. Today the hidden fountain flows and plays. Today the church draws breath at last and sings, as every flame becomes a tongue of praise. This is the feast of fire, air, and water, poured out and breathed and kindled into earth. The earth herself awakens to her maker, translated out of death and into birth. The right words come today in their right order, and every word spells freedom and release. Today the gospel crosses every border. All tongues are loosened by the Prince of Peace. Today the lost are found in his translation, whose mother tongue is love in every nation. Amen.